Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church on this glorious Sunday morning. How about greeting your friends and neighbors that are sitting next to you or across the aisle or behind you or in front of you? Pass the peace, please. All right, if you would please, let us continue our worship service by preparing our hearts for worship as we sing our hymn of preparation. You will. A lot of announcements. You will find them on the insert in your bulletin. I would like to add one piece of information that was left out of the newsletter. The deadline for Disciple Now is March the 2nd. So, youth, you need to make a note of that. Also on March the 2nd will be Hot Wednesday, and the program for Hot Wednesday will be the report of the Honduras mission trip, and the softball team will be preparing the meal as an effort to raise money for new bats that they need. So come out to the Hot Wednesday, support the mission group, and listen to what all Main Street was able to do through its missionaries that went on this trip, and also help support the softball team. You will also notice in the insert that there is a book fair that is being sponsored by Mud Pies. You can see the dates for that. It started today, but it will run all through the coming week. Game day is tomorrow. Come and play board games, or bring your group and play bridge. March the 4th at noon at St. Mark's, there will be the celebration of the World Day of Prayer, and that is an ecumenical group, so we do urge you to support and participate in that. One other event, you'll notice the circles are listed there. Please follow your circles and find out when you're supposed to meet and where you're supposed to be. But one other thing, this afternoon, the liturgist training will start at 2:30 here in the sanctuary. So we are so grateful that Myra Schaefer has agreed to help us with that. So if you have contacted the office and you are participating or wish to participate as a liturgist, please come for the training at 2:30 this afternoon. Now let us continue with our worship services as we watch the light of Christ enter through the acolytes.
Thank you. Please stand with me if you are able for the call to worship. Receive with joy the calm and quiet of worship. Come with hope to this celebration of salvation. Surely our God will speak to us here. We come thirsty for springs of living water. Come as stewards of God's mysteries. Gather as servants of Jesus Christ. Surely Christ will feed us with living bread. We will be clothed with garments of righteousness. Be ready to receive more than you can ask. Be ready to give more than you thought you had. God will equip us with everything we need. We will learn how to live in God's realm.
Be pleased in praying the prayer of invocation. You know everything we need, O Heavenly Parent. Come among us to calm our worries and help us to put first things first. Remind us of our covenant with you and show us how to live by it. We for righteousness. We intend to lay aside all that blocks our trust in you. For you are more than we can imagine. Feed us here and clothe us with your truth, so we in turn may be a blessing to others. Amen. Let's join together in making our affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence ye shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 49, 8 through 16, and you can find this in your pew Bible on page 231. Thus saith the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you. On a day of salvation I have helped you. I have kept you and given you as a covenant to the people to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out to those who were in darkness. Show yourselves. They shall feed along the way. On all the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst, and neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them down. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will turn all my mountains into a road, and all my highways shall be raised up. Lo, these shall come from far away, and lo, these shall come from north, and from the west, and from the land of Zion. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people, and will have compassion on his suffering ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child, or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Time of prayer. Dear God, as we come to you today, acknowledging that there are many things in life that clamor for our attention, they create emotions deep within inside of us. Some distress us, some give us hope, some confuse us. Some seem to sap our spiritual energies. And some seem to restore us. Holy God, we come to you with life's issues, for sickness, for health. We come to you with all of those human cares. And we pray, dear Lord, that we would learn in all that we are experiencing what it means to be a faithful child of God, to experience afresh your presence and your guidance in our world, in our hearts, in our church. Dear God, we pray for these within our church family that are not well today, for those who have lost loved ones. Holy God, we pray for your comfort and guidance for them. We thank you again for the privilege to live in this great land of freedom. And as we have seen the struggles in so many places of the world, realizing again how precious freedom is. And we pray for those who are struggling, those who have been killed and their families. Dear God, we don't know again what to make of all these things taking place. But we trust in you. We trust, O God, that whatever is happening in our world, that we could submit it to your plan, for your timing. Dear God, for those who are endeavoring to be peacemakers, Holy God, be with them and give them guidance as they endeavor to work among us to proclaim, blessed are the peacemakers. And for those who serve in the military, for those who serve the church, in faraway places or at home, dear God, we thank you for their lives and we thank you for their commitment. And be with those who lead the church and lead our nation, and we pray as you taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers. Let us pray. Holy God, we come to you this day in surrendering to you again that which we have received, realizing that all that we have is yours. And so really we're only giving to you a portion of that which is already yours. Bless this gift. May they go throughout the world to relieve worry and feed families and clothe individuals who are naked. Holy God, use this offering. Use it, Almighty God, for your glory. Bless giver and gift, those who have not and those who chose not to give this day. Bless them, Almighty God. And to you we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning, boys and girls. I feel like I'm so far away from you. I want you to see something that I'm holding in my hand. I'm going to kind of hold it up. It's a stone. It's a stone. It's a smooth, sort of a flat stone, and it's small enough that I can put it in my pocket. And, you know, a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, but some people carry stones like this, and they call them worry stones. And when they feel worried, they get their worry stone out, and they rub it with their thumb. And they feel like rubbing that soft, smooth stone will help them to have a calm, peaceful feeling. Do you think that would work? Not maybe, not really though, huh? No, having something like that to alleviate your worries won't help at all. Well, you know, people do worry about a lot of things, and especially adults. Adults really worry, don't they? But you may worry too about some things. Those of you that are going to school, maybe you worry about getting your homework done. Or you worry about the math test that you're going to have, maybe. Or the soccer game that you're going to be playing. You worry about, well, are we going to win this game or not? Parents tend to worry about things like, am I going to have enough money this month to make sure I have plenty of food for myself and my family? And am I going to have enough money for clothing that we need? Well, you know, one day Jesus was talking to a large group of people. They were sitting on a hillside, and he told them, do not worry if you're going to have enough food to eat or water to drink or clothes to wear. Don't worry about those things. And he said, look at the birds in the air. There were birds flying around that day, and he said, they don't worry about where their next meal is coming from, but our Heavenly Father cares for them. Our Heavenly Father provides food for those birds, just like He provides food for us. And you know, God doesn't put the food in the nest for the birds. The birds have to go out and gather it, don't they? They have to go find that food. And then Jesus looked around and he saw all the beautiful wildflowers growing on the hillside. And he said, and don't worry about the clothing that you will wear, because look at all these beautiful wildflowers. God has made sure that they are beautiful. They're clothed the way they're supposed to be. And if God cares for those wildflowers, he's certainly going to care for each of you. Just like he cares for and provides for those birds, he provides for you as well. Now, are we supposed to just sit down and wait for things to happen? No. we are supposed to work, right? We're supposed to ask God to help us to maybe learn our addition facts, spell our spelling words correctly or as correctly as we can, practice our soccer skills. We're supposed to do all those things to help us be better. Are we always going to be the best student in the school? Are the best athlete on the field? No. But we just ask God to help us to be the best that we can be. That's exactly right. So remember, you do have a job, and that is to work at being the best you can be. But one thing that your job does not include, and that is worrying about it. So let your worries go and ask God and trust God that He will guide you and help you through life's way. Okay, let's bow our heads for a prayer. Dear Father, we thank You that You provide our every need. Help us not to worry, but to have faith. Amen.
The Gospel according to Matthew, and begin reading with the 24th verse of the 6th chapter. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. George Mueller says the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. One of the things that we have become accustomed to hearing these days is sustainability. We stop and think about how the things that we purchase and the clothes that we wear and the things that we experience, we want to know how they're going to hold up. Are they going to sustain? Are they going to endure? Are they going to be worth the money that we pay for it? Sustainability, that which enables us to press forward as people of faith. Those who are not quitters in life's journey. Those Christians that have shown sustenance through the years. I was talking with one of my children the other day, and I said, look back over the last few years. And what are the things that distressed you and you worried about that have not come to fulfillment? And then I looked at my child and I said, was it worth it? Was it worth all the stress and all the pressures that were brought to bear on you? Did it help your health, or did it dramatically affect your health in a negative type of way? One guy was talking about worry, and he says, worry is like holding a glass of water. And said, you hold it, and for a little while, it's okay. But after a while, that glass gets heavy, and heavier, and heavier, and heavier. And so, as we think about our lives and the things in life that we worry about, then ask yourself, if in the midst of your worrying, are you trusting God? A young couple was having problems in their relationship. And I said to them, where is God in your relationship? And they said, he doesn't exist. I said, therein might be your problem. As we look at this passage of Scripture today and we hear these words that call us not to worry, there was a story told about a man, and it was obviously he was a worrier, what we would call a worry wart. You could see by the countenance of his face that he was a worrier. And one day, his countenance changed. It was obvious that he had a new outlook on life. He was smiling. Instead of being hooked over, he was standing up. And somebody said, what did you do? He said, I hired somebody else to worry for me. Says, my goodness, how much do you charge? Or you pay him for him to worry for you? He said, I give him $1,000 a week. They said, wow, that's a lot of money to give somebody to worry for you. Well, what happens if you don't pay him? He said, that's his worry. As we think about what Christ has spoken to us in this passage of Scripture. The other day I was out and I looked and I saw the first little blade of a jonquil sticking its head through the soil. I saw some birds down by the water. And I was watching them as they were there. I saw the big bird as it took wing and just flew with such power and such grace. And I thought about this passage. I thought about the birds of the air and how that God has made them so beautiful. And in just a few weeks, it will be the robins and the bluebirds will be arriving if they're not here already. And we'll see them again and hear their chirping and be able to look at them and think about how beautiful God has made them. How did they find their way back here? How did they know where Greenwood was? The story was told about a ship out in the middle of the ocean. A big mass, and out of the sky came birds landing on this ship and resting. One of the birds was a little wren, and it flew down to one of the mates and landed on his leg and went up his britchy leg. He just sat there for a while and warmed himself from the body's heat, scurried back down, and flew off again, back out across the ocean. The birds that landed on the mast, they too gathered up and they flew on. And God is like that for us as Christians. God is that source of rest, that source of comfort. I want to remind some of my young people to go and talk to some of these gray-haired folks and talk to them about the issues of life that they have experienced and talk to them about sustainability. Talk to them about endurance. Talk to them about courage. Talk to them about how you overcome in the midst of struggles. And I hope some of you gray-haired folks we'll talk to our children about love and about commitment and about sustainability and about God. How God has enabled you to make it through the experiences of life. About God and what God means to you in these days of your life. We need not to worry because God has enabled us to come through to this day, to this time. I have never been one that's been extremely invested in the stock market. I have some minister friends that are. They've got more money than me now. But one of the things that I do know is that the stock market goes up and it goes down. Things change. We talk about the gas crisis today, and I remember my mother and dad talking about times when there were food stamps and gas ration stamps, rather, war bonds, war stamps, and they couldn't even find gas. And I remember them telling the stories of life and of laughter and of being out on the interstate and coming to a service station and having no gas and having to spend the night there in the back seat of the car waiting for the service station to open. So stories of endurance, of not being so worried about
the things of life. But to realize that God is with us. And we hear that story all year long, and we especially during the Lenten, the Advent season, as we talk about Emmanuel, that God is with us. And now in the Lenten series, we'll be talking about Christ as He came to be with us and to die. And then He says to us, don't worry. Don't worry, when I leave you, I'm going to send you a comforter. A comforter. Someone that will be with you. Somebody that will strengthen you. Somebody that will enable you to have words to say when you're challenged. Do we think about the Holy Presence being with us now? The realities of our life, and we know them well, we do have those experiences sometimes that seems to sap our spiritual selves. I submit to you that if you're in the need of a spiritual renewal, changing churches is not what you need. If a church is in the midst of a crisis, changing preachers is not necessarily what we need. But to be renewed and to let those burning embers, those sparks, to be reignited. I was talking with some of my minister friends the other day, and I shared with you a few weeks ago, I have found myself throughout my Christian journey always needing renewing experiences. I've had many times of what I would call conversion type experiences. They haven't all been in the midst of what we used to call a revival. They haven't always been in camps. Been times of personal reflection and prayer. Thank God for those times when we do have those, as Wesley had, those heartwarming experiences. But I submit that I suspect that Wesley had more than one heartwarming experience. It's just like a vacation. You don't have just one vacation in a lifetime. Now, indeed, you might have one special one, but we go on vacations, most of us, year after year, to be renewed. Valentine's Day just passed, and you don't tell your significant other that you love them one time in life, and it's enough for a lifetime, do you? But you share that love over and over and over. And it's the same in our journey of faith. We are renewed over and over. And Jesus calls to us today and He says, look what's around you. Look at the birds. Your heavenly Father loves them. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't toil, they don't spin. Look at them. Solomon in all of his glory wasn't arrayed as one, and yet the Heavenly Father loves you and has given Himself for you. God doesn't put us in a bubble. God doesn't cause us not to have to pay gas at $3 a gallon like everyone else. God places us right smack dab in the middle of life. And in the midst of what everyone else is experiencing, we find phenomenal calm and phenomenal peace. If you remember the story of Wesley, it was those Moravians, when even their children were calm in the midst of the storm, and Wesley was so moved that even to this day, we still have a wonderful relationship with the Moravian church. Wesley realized that these individuals had taught their children the essence of faith and hope and courage, that God was in charge. And God speaks to us this morning and says to us, I'm not going to leave you. Tug McGraw, 1973, New York Mets. He was the one that led them to the World Series. He was the one that began to proclaim, you gotta believe. And he tells a story of standing on the mound and looking down at the plate, and there stood Willie Stargell. And said he thought about what was going to be happening 100,000 years from now. And he came to the perception that what he did in the World Series in 1973 wasn't going to matter much 100,000 years from now. He said, you got to believe. And we remember that he was the one that threw the last pitch when the Philadelphia Phillies won the World Series. And he still said, you got to believe. In the midst of all that's going on in our world today, regardless of who's in the White House, regardless of who's in Congress, and regardless of who stands behind this pulpit, do you believe? Is your faith something that is meaningful to you and it affects your life and affects the way you relate in all aspects of your life? Or is this just something that you come to because you've been doing it for so long? If it is, then let God renew you and restore you. Look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds. God loves you more than all of those. Don't worry. Be happy. Amen. Turn in our hymn books to number 140. Thank you.
Please join me in the benediction as found in the hymnal, in the bulletin. Like a rock,
God is under our feet.
Like a roof,
God is over our heads.
Like the horizon,
God is beyond us.
Like water in a pitcher,
God is within us and pouring out of us.
Like a pebble in the sea,
we are in God.
Let us go out and change our world.